Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat to create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the program. Good to see everyone here. What a beautiful day in sunny SoCal. Had a lot of rain. It's clear and nice. Big cumulus clouds. Lots of potential and opportunity, and I hope you guys are tapping into that in your world, no matter what the weather is. Connect into your true north, your true path. Hi, everyone listening in the chat. Welcome, guests, and tried and true. They anchor the energy, the people in the chat, the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. I see listeners listening by phone. Welcome. If you have a question or a comment, you need to press 1 on your keypad. So I don't know if a lot of you are listening by phone, but if you did have a question or a comment, press 1 on the keypad, and that alerts me on the switchboard, okay? So then I know you're not just listening, because sometimes people walk away, but I don't know if you want to get on air or not. Howdy to everyone listening via iTunes, BTR Archives, FM Player, or Player FM, and TuneIn Radio. Welcome to all of you as well. I always like to welcome everyone that's listening, depending on the time zone and time frame. You are still with us at the beginning. So we're going to answer some email questions. We're going to get, of course, to callers. And then, of course, the second half of the program, we always have our Awakenings Dialogue. And today we have Garnet Schulhauser. We're going to be talking about the Dance of Eternal Rapture. And he's going to be diving into some of his experiences on the astral plane. Yeah. So we're going to be talking with him later. And again, that number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. If you would like to get on air, or you'd like a question answered or comment. So I've gotten a couple email questions about one of our guests and some information, so I am going to dive into that. But first, I want to tell Melissa, you're so welcome. She had a question last week about Saturn return in her chart, and I gave a little bit of a synopsis on the Saturn return for everyone, and then specifically, you know, where is it how is it influencing your chart? And remember, the house is the area of influence or that's being highlighted, you know, when you're looking at your chart. Just good to see you here. Anyway, just want to acknowledge you, Melissa. We had a question from James, one of our regular crew. Hello, James. So he always has great dreams, and, you know, when you start your soul alignment, when you get more into the soul alignment, your dreams become very active, the dream state, and you start to receive a lot of messages from your soul via the dreams, right? So, I'll do a little bit of a course on that. I've touched on other, you know, episodes about what to look for in dreams and, you know, for sure the feelings and the emotions. And the key theme, and you don't have to remember the whole dream, but just the basic theme, if you will, topic, theme, outline, and how you felt is really always important, the emotional state as well as feelings. And then there's a lot of ways to use the dream, dream reentry, where you go back in, you know, you can also use the dream to see to work out different responses. So they're powerful, and that's why I studied dreams and got certification in dream therapy, dream analysis and interpretation. It's just such a profound metaphor. And really, we're living a dream, a different type of dream in the waking state. And dreams are based on archetypal energy, which we are all comprised of. So it's just fascinating because it's also the building blocks of our not only our society, but our world. So anyway, James is saying, so this morning I was thrown out of my sleep. That was the suddenness with which I found myself awake. Not an enjoyable dream. Okay, so we tell you what the feeling is there. I was being ejected from my home again by my wife this time, my mother the first time. I was in the dream along with her new squeeze. There was one other person I can't place, might have been a sibling. I was very angry with all of them, remember running up to each of them in person and pushing them and saying, I don't need you. As I was walking away from the scene, my mother's new partner pulled a massive tree stump with its roots out of the ground and presented it to me. Powerful. I then recall being out on the street, no possessions, nowhere to go, when a younger fellow met me and directed me to a couple that would give me boarding for the night. There's heavy symbolism, and it was quite impactful. Do you feel this is me working through residual emotions that I've been harboring? Absolutely it is. But and this is a great dream, and you know, a lot of you that are listening may have had similar dreams, and I'm going to give you some key techniques or ways to get in to see. Now, all dreams, if they have people that you know, represent the person that you know or the people that you know, as well as aspects of yourself that are shadowed, either hidden from you or you're not integrating well enough, you know, so that's why it comes to. And this is why I love dreams, because dreams are really, if you look at surrealism in art, that really, it really touched upon dream life and expounded on that. And our world is multifaceted, multidimensional. We're multidimensional beings, multifaceted. So there's multi layers all the time to what we're what's going on in our life and in our world. And that's what, as a psychic channel and a medium, that's what I read. I read the multiplicity of it all. And that's where the trends are. That's where the predictions are. That's so too often we only look on the surface of things or what is apparent. But there's many layers. And so dreams represent these layers. So even in where our real life or our waking state or however you want to put it, what happens to us isn't just about us. It's about the people involved. It's about our individual, you know, individual path where we're at. It's about the collective, where the collective energy is at. Where is the energy around you? Where do you find yourself? You know, and what's the tenure of the city, the climate of the city, the state, what's going on? So there's all these juxtapositions. So while we are not complicated and we don't want complicated lives, we're complex. Big difference. So what I see right here in this dream, first of all, it's what we call an individuating dream, where you're trying to individuate. You're trying to separate out into your own uniqueness. And that this dream tells me that you weren't able to at a younger age. And so there's some similarities between the wife and the mother, and kind of getting free and getting to know your true needs and wants. But it's also about integrating the feminine, because the wife and the mother are there. So it's clearing up issues stemming to the mother, and could even be cosmic mother, or the whole idea of merging or relationship or being relational, or being more magnetic. So there's an emotional, spiritual component that we look at, as well as what's going on with the current wife and mother, what didn't be individuating. And when there's another person and you can't quite place them, that very often is, oh gosh, I hope you guys don't hear they're refitting some stuff in my neighbor's house, and it's so loud. Sorry about that. So if it's a stranger or someone that you don't know, then that's saying that it's something that you're needing to integrate. It's strange or foreign to you. And maybe it's something that's a shadow material that's coming out for you that you need to work on, you know, or is it something that you need to integrate? You know, is it something you need to heal and then integrate, or is it something that you need to become aware of and integrate? Yes, you're angry with them, so the anger is there, and I don't need you. So that's telling me, again, what is the issues between dependency and independence, interdependence? Being relational, being in relationship, being connected, but is it too much? What's the balance for you? And that also tells me that there's individuation issues from a young age, you know, from growing up. So that's being acted out. Now, it's very interesting that this, you also got the roots. Let's see what was, so the anger, anytime we have anger, irritation, frustration, that means that our bounds have been overstepped, right? And ultimately we're angry perhaps at ourselves. So that's an area to look at. And the whole idea of needing people, we do need people, and we don't want to be needy, but we are meant to attach, we are meant to bond. So it's a kind of an interesting game on this earth plane, right? People say, oh, be detached, or you work on detachment. Well, that's not the human way is to attach. The spiritual way is to attach. It's do we over-attach at the expense, you know? And even in psychology, they have attachment theory, you know, that there's issues with, you know, bonding and attachment are very important, you know, for one's well-being in life. So I love this, your mother's partner, new partner. So the new partner, what's the new partner bringing to you? There's something there to look at in this new partner. And they pull out a massive tree stump with its roots out the ground and present it to me. Can't be more blatant. Get your roots rooted. Get your roots, your centering of what works for you, what's good for you in your life. So sometimes we have to go back and pick and choose. Oh, this wasn't healthy from my dad or my mom. This wasn't healthy from my brother. This wasn't good. This isn't me. Oh, but I have a little bit of that in me. But, oh, I'll take this. This was good. This was healthy. So, again, we move into more conscious living. And then I recall being put on the street, and a younger fellow directed me to a couple that would give me boarding for the night. So a couple. Doesn't matter if it's whatever the orientation is, whether it's two same sex or a girl and a guy, whatever that is, that couple represents what you need to integrate within yourself. So look at the lover's card, which is ruled by Gemini, which is all about integration of the masculine and the feminine, of the electrical and the magnetic. So this is about individuation and integration. And this person, a younger fellow, so it's something new that's budding within you, a new way of seeing the world, a new way of being, what you need to integrate, it's fairly new. And there may be some new or younger people around you that are holding this example of this vibrational frequency, you know, in their life. So pretty powerful. I hope that helps a lot of you. Love tuning in. Love doing that. Oh, Laura couldn't get into the chat. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the chat. Hi, Tamara. My co-pilots here, co-hosts and co-pilots. Okay, I see some people I haven't seen in a while. Hi, Laura. Okay, hope everybody got in. Okay. Yay! Yay! No, she's barking. Okay. My browser unexpectedly had quit, so I don't know what was going on with that earlier on. Okay, call in number 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And please press 1 on the keypad to let me know you want to get on air, because some people listen by phone. A lot of people listen by phone. A lot of people listen by archives. We have a lot of listeners by archives. This is why I repeat things. We've gone into that. Hey, Laura. Hey, everyone in the chat. Good to see everybody. So we're going to get to callers. I do want to say, oh, at the top of the program, I see I almost forgot. Please, all guests, do not email me on my soul playground. I have a lot of publishers lately and PR people. Please, everything Awakenings podcast, at gmail.com. Yay, Lar. Hi, Lar's mom. How are you? Say hi, hello, hugs. Good. So, and also if you want to get on the list and find out what's happening, I'm doing some soul retrieval work in a teleworkshop form, healing the soul wounding, the sacred wounding really is also another way to look at it. And we're going to be doing that at the end of the month. So if you're interested in that, email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. Okay, so we had a question. I'm getting to our callers, but we had a question come in about, I had a few emails actually, about two souls, and that it didn't resonate with them, and what did I think? And, you know, I will, asked and answered, right? So, no, there are not two souls. That's misinformation. And I have been writing and working since the 80s, okay, so a long time, about soul alignment and the soul path. Let's just look at it from a common sense point of view. What is our physical body and our experience on the earth plane? It's our soul in physical form. That's what the personality is. So if you look at it, in spirit, we don't have a body, right? We're spirit. It's the ethers. There is no physical individuated or individual form. Those of you that have done other dimensional work, you can see that. We've had some experiences. Ashtar Command. I mean, there's, you know, we're collective. Actually, we're collective anyway. We're all connected anyway. We're interconnected. And even science proves this. This is why in quantum physics, it said a wave of the hand is felt, I think it's 6,000 miles, 3,000 miles. I can't remember. I think it's 6,000 miles, whatever, from here like to Japan. Dr. Emoto showed that with water, that what we were thinking and what we feel affects the water, or what's going on in a situation affects the water. Why can a psychometrist read jewelry, right? Because the memory, there's an overlay. I even did an experiment of this in Chicago where I was brought in at a flotation tank place, you know, relaxing flotation tank place, and I was able to see high accuracy. I think it might have been 100%. Let's give me 97, 98. I could tell at the end of the day who had been in the flotation tank and what they had done, if they had been sick, if they'd been coughing, if they'd been crying, if they had a cold. Why? Because metal retains the imagery from the electromagnetic impressions that are left. Because when we think, right, you guys think right now, what did you have for breakfast or lunch, wherever you're at? Or if you didn't have breakfast or lunch, what did you drink? Did you have some tea? Did you have some coffee? What comes up? A mental image picture. And if you follow it further, what comes up, there's feelings and emotions connected to it. But that mental image picture can be read. The imaging that we think, there are machines that can read. Does it have a lot of charge? Is it a pleasant memory? You know, there's ways to do this. You know, and people that work with the brain a lot, the brain waves of what you're experiencing respond, right? So we pick up on that. Why, when we're walking down the street, all of a sudden we turn around, we feel somebody staring at us, and of course they are. Or we're driving in the car, we look over because someone's staring at us. That's that interconnectedness to the subtle energy. So everything and everyone is interconnected through this subtle energy. So that's why we say we're individuated aspects, or we're individual aspects of the all that is. So let's just back it up just a little bit to give a little bit of a theory here, which I have experienced and so therefore believe, and there are others do, and it's, you know, written in some books, I suppose. If you look at spirit as the essence, when you say we're spirit or we're spiritual, like the wind, think of spirit as the wind. It's the life force animating energy. They call it chi or ki or prana. It's the substance of the world. Okay, it's the ethers, it's the gaseousness, right? That's spirit. That's why when they say Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, it doesn't have a body. It doesn't take in shape and form. You can also look at consciousness. It's consciousness. But it's in spirit. It's an ether, right? So we have this diffused energy, right? It's just creation energy. Then through a process, which we don't quite know how it happens, there's certain elements to this spiritual energy or spiritual nature or essence of life itself that seems to break off. Carl Jung, the psychologist, says it's a living question. This question happens. I say it's a living question and a living answer. We're the question and the answer. So everything that's on the planet has a vibrational frequency to it, a correspondence to it. And so if you think of energetically, let's say you think of energy moving around, it's very light and very subtle. and it moves around and it starts to make a configuration by moving around. Okay, this is kind of abstract, so it's going to make sense. Follow me where I'm going. It's going to make sense. So everything is right moving around, and there's a quality to this kind of energy, right? There's a quality, we call it a complex of frequencies that comes together, and it, boom, it from that, a template or design is created, right? So almost like if you think of spirit as Legos or building blocks and you move them around and you make a design, the soul is the design, okay? It becomes individuated, an individual design, like a snowflake. That's another way to look at it. The snowflake is based on water, right? Mist is water. Those are different forms of the same thing. So we're all different forms of the same thing, same as trees, cars, everything has a level of consciousness to it. Some of it is denser, some of it is lighter, more subtle. So what are we doing on the earth plane? The earth is our playground. That's why I have the website soulplayground.life. We come here to learn and grow and express and experience ourselves as individuated aspects of the all that is, or individuated aspects of God, or individual aspects of God, or parts of God. You know, that's why we have that divine part of the creator part. We are that substance. This is why, you know, scientists, metaphysicians, quantum physicists, Einstein has said, Carl Sagan has said, we are made of the same Rumi, the same substance as the stars and the planet. So science has already said that. It's the same biochemistry that we have. It's just different amounts, but it's the same substance. So what happens on Earth is our soul, as much as it can, and wounding blocks this, too much wounding, but our soul breasts or is incarnated or is birthed into a body that represents part of our soul or an aspect of our personality in Earth to have these experiences, learning lessons, experiences of humanness, of relating, of emotions, of playing things out. So no, you don't have two souls because it's one design. Your physical body, mental, emotional body, as a matter of fact, is all a representation of your soul. So to some degree, your likes, your dislikes, your preferences, your proclivities are aspects of your soul. And that's why when people live very authentically, they say, wow, that's a great soul, or they're soulful, or they're really connected to their soul, or they got a lot of soul. People that are very afraid and wounded don't have a lot of soul. You don't say that. You say, oh, they have a lot of fear, or, you know, nice person, or I feel their pain, or, you know, whatever. But people that are living authentically, more and more authentically, we recognize that. And it's in our nomenclature. It's in our vernacular. It's in our wording, our lexicon, our vocabulary. They have soul. Why do you think marketers have landed on that? Kia soul, be yourself. So the more that we're ourselves, the more we're living soul expressed and obviously soul connected. So no, there's not two souls. Your physical body does not have a soul. Your physical body is an emanation or manifestation of your soul on the earth plane because it's physical. If you don't have a body, if you haven't been born or incarnated on the earth plane, you don't have a body. Then you can't be on earth playing the earth game without a body. That's kind of a big part of it. So And I do believe you can find out this information also, Alice Bailey, I don't know, maybe Hermetic Philosophy as well. You can dig around for it. But I always say it's very interesting. Metaphysically and spiritually, I find the more advanced you get, it actually kind of goes back to some kind of common sense, like your higher self. People sometimes tell me, oh, I'm going to sell everything and I'm going to go, you know, and they have no money or nothing saved. And I'm like, that's not your higher self. That's your ego. Your higher self will always have some steps. Now, the ego may think, oh, my God, this is a risk. I can't do this. But if somebody shows up to help you, you know, and I also say you can create from the ego because we're always creating. We're creator beings. You know, we're part of God or the all that is. The innate intelligence of the universe is within us. You know, we have the mediating intelligence, which is the higher self, that mediates from the higher aspect of us and the lower, the you know, egoic, if you will. or the less evolved, the part of us that doesn't know. The intuitive part is connected to the innate intelligence of the world, of the universe. So that we're being guided in this kind of game of this question and this answer that we are. Why? That's just creation. That's kind of how it is. There's a lot of beliefs in between all of this, and different people, you know, ascribe to different beliefs or aspects of what I'm sharing, and that's fine. That's individual. That's why we have all these different forms that are created, which are beliefs and ideas and ways people live and act and different lifestyles, and they're all emanating from one source. You know, metaphysically, it's out of the one is the many, or out of the one comes the many. From the many is the one. That's a very powerful metaphysical axiom. There's only one source. There's one sun. There's one God. There's one all that is. But there it is in the term, the all that is. It's all present in there. And it's all being acted out until it doesn't need to anymore, until it's fulfilled its purpose, until we're bored. And you see this. The typewriter was great. I always use this as an example, but now we got the keyboard from that on our devices and our phones, but we rarely use that anymore. It's not so. What we no longer need, what is no longer resonating enough, it doesn't have enough electrical magnetic interconnecting, begins to dissipate, begins to lessen, and that's even within us. Habits. You choose something more life-enhancing, and what was seemed as a non-life-enhancing habit or behavior pattern or idea or maybe a food or something you were doing, whatever it is, becomes less and less and less and less appealing. You go for what's more life-enhancing, and that is innate in nature. Unless you have such deep wounding that there's heavy pathology there, we tend to all, in animal beings for sure, because that's primal energy, instinctual energy and focus, always go for what's most life-enhancing. That's all of nature. It does what's most life-enhancing, because what's hardwired within all of us is to survive. And now we're moving to thrive, right? Tamara, great. Thanks for clearing that up. You're welcome. Yeah, I didn't want to step on anybody's toes, so I didn't want to say anything in the interview, but I don't like misinformation being out there. And we can debate, but I always say the best debate goes back to common sense. Why would you confuse yourself by having soul in a spiritual form? And it's like two designs. Just think about it a little bit, common sense. What happens when you try to have two designs of a house? We've seen this before, whether personally you've lived through it. One architect designs a house a certain way, and it has some loop, and then you bring another archetype in, you know, or architect in, you know. So, yeah, Tamara's putting exactly, yeah. So trying to clear it up and keeping it simple, but I do appreciate. And I did have Leo. I want to give you a shout-out also for the wonderful appreciation email you sent. I love it. You guys are so on track. We had, again, another situation with an experience of how somebody was experiencing the guest. So they emailed me and said they learned a lot because I handled it, they said, with a lot of poise. And they said the lesson is to just go with the flow of what's happening and not try to fight it or change it. And that's what I'm saying. We're always learning. I'm learning every time I come on the show, every time I share with you guys and speak and open up. And every time we have certain types of guests on, you know, there's different learnings. And that's why I also like doing the show. I like being open to new influences. It's, you know, kind of makes this ride a lot more interesting. Interesante, we say in Espanol. Okay, shall we get to callers? We've got 661-742 on air. Hello, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. Can you hear me? I can hear you now. And what's your first name?
Sonia.
Hello, Sonia. What's your question?
I just have a career question. I've been in finance and business for a very long time. And I accept it just because it's, yes, I'm ready for something new. And I have been trying to figure out what it is. And I know that I like to help people. I just don't know what I would be good at.
Yeah. Well, you're very good. I would love. I also, what you would love, very good one-on-one. And I think even like a liaison, a mediator, an advocate. Your business, I feel somehow you'll bring it. You could have even been a great, I feel, attorney. I feel like your mind is very facile. And let's do something, Sonia. Give me your, I'm going to just look at your cycle real quick, or what, natal energy, just to kind of make things quicker. What's your birthday? Mm-hmm. Don't mind me asking.
5/5/1987.
All righty, let's see what's okay. So most likely some type of consulting. See, you do work well in a corporate or organized setting. There's a part of you that likes that. But I also do see you have a part that's very creative, maybe even wanting to do some writing. You know, again, you could be, you're going to have to decide. One of the ways it's best to find out what it is you like doing is to start just exploring. Take classes, workshops, mm-hmm. go to art gallery. Just start opening up. Get out of your area. Mm-hmm. Get in the mass transit. Get in the car. Go to another city or town. You know, it could be just 10 minutes away. Just get out of your area and be open to new influences. Drive home in a different way. You know, just change it up. Because what happens is when we get in ruts. We all know when we're in a rut, but we get in energetic ruts. We tend to go the same route all the time. So we see the same things all the time. And so the best way to tell your higher self and the God, the universe, whatever, like, I'm ready for something new, is to start doing something new. Get out of that comfort zone a little bit.
Right.
Maybe that you do something on the side while you're in this corporate finance business aspect, or you take what mm-hmm. you know in that and you apply it to other people to help them. Maybe it's working with, you know, foundations, non-for-profits, maybe it's starting something like that, lending your services. You have a lot of advocacy energy with what you do. Now, where mm-hmm. your creativity can come in is either putting events together, small and large, helping small groups, blogging, you know, like empowerment, not just finance or business, but also how people can believe in themselves or make positive changes in their life. Right now, you have, you're a bit on your own path to discover this, and I would say you're probably not going to know what you want to do make changes maybe next year or the following year, maybe the end of next year, because the cycle you're moving into now is a little
exploring.
More about getting new perspectives, exploring and getting new perspectives. Yeah. So that's what I would suggest to you.
Okay.
Keep us posted. Let us know what you're finding out, what you're liking, and where your heart's
leading
you.
Thank you so much. I will. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, mm-hmm. Bye.
Peace. Bye. Hi, 469-657. You're on air.
Hi, Michelle. This is Willa.
What's his name?
Willa.
Hello. Willa. Hi, Willa.
Yes, hello, Michelle. Yes.
Hello. Yes.
I am calling you again today, my second time. As same as before, I've still got some restless energy and a lot of things going on. So I'm trying to, same as the first caller, was figure out my finances. The job that I'm at and I've been doing for a while, the firm is kind of at a standstill, and they said that they're not going to be able to pay anymore, even though I'm requesting mm-hmm. to be paid what I feel like I'm worth. And mm-hmm. it's been put on hold. And so I went and found a part-time job and went to my first day yesterday. for training, and I'm just not feeling like
you're not it. It's not
that's
it
what
for
I
you.
Need to be doing. Yes. And yeah. So my concern is that, you know, I've got to be able to have the money to help my son Cohen, which he's on the spectrum and is needing, I feel, to go to a better school that can help him. So do you mm-hmm. see me having to
now,
do the second job? And
well, yeah. What about the other job where you were talking about what you were?
My full-time job, you know, I was divorced last summer, and so I'm adjusting to being on my own with my son, and I'm just barely making it, and I feel like I'm secure here, but can I afford to stay here without having to take two jobs?
You might, in the short term, is what I'm hearing, have to take another job. But now, let me just, I want to share something. I want to stop something that you said with, about your worth. For every mm-hmm. for you and everyone out there, if you want to live more abundantly and actually attract more money, it's please do not associate your worth by how much you're paid at a job.
Mm.
Has nothing to do with your worth. Has nothing to do with your worth. So expunge that. Get that out of your mind. Erase, 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 erase. It's what you might choose. You may choose a certain amount of money or monetary exchange that you like or you feel comfortable with, but it has nothing to do with your worth. Because if you stay locked in that, that's a scarcity. That's putting you're a treasure. You're infinite. There's no money. And actually, for whatever anybody does with their gifts, these numbers are arbitrary, how much someone is paid. So that's first what I would say off the bat. I feel like you straddling two jobs for a while until you find what it is that you really want to do. And that is also with the amount of monetary exchange that's right for you. So give yourself,
right.
you're still in a little bit of a acclimation mode is what I'm hearing. So let yourself, you know, let yourself be there is what I'm hearing to tell
right.
you. Right.
Like with the first caller, I've been doing what I do for almost 20 years now, and I'd like to do something else. But jumping mm-hmm. from, you know, bankruptcy into a different field, whether it's in just mortgage industry or whatever, is really difficult. And then at my
right.
age, I'm like, going back to school to learn something else and get in debt just doesn't make sense. So I do feel like I almost have to just make the best of what I'm doing right now.
Well, just for right now. But that's there's a lot of ways, and I wouldn't use age. There's, you know, you can Google. There's so many stories of people that have done really well later in life, done better, or started
mm-hmm.
businesses. And in
mm-hmm.
fact, the fastest demographic that is doing small businesses and also entrepreneurial ventures is the millennials
mm-hmm.
and the baby boomers. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're living longer. People are having children later on in life. You know, there's just, you cannot go by those old rules. That's going to lock you in. But what I do feel for you is work on yourself more, your self-esteem, your confidence, the belief in that you can do what you want to do. While you're at the position that you're at, you maybe have to take some side work, something else, and your will begin to shift. Your mindset will change. You know, I do feel another job is coming in for you. I just don't feel that it's here yet. It's like you have to.
Okay.
Sometimes what we receive is an outpicturing of what's going on inside of us, you know, mentally. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, we're complex. We're not meant to be complicated, but we're complex. And you're still healing from this past relationship as well. So give it some time. You know, keep researching, whether, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
paper or Craigslist or online. Keep researching and, you know, go to LinkedIn. Well, I could do that, or I might like that. Or you never know what kind of situation crops up once our mindset changes. All right,
okay,
Willa.
Wonderful.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
You're very welcome. Bye. Hi, 917-756. You're on air.
Hi, it's Liliana. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Great.
Hi,
Liliana.
Hi. So I just wanted to see what you saw, for the next couple of months, like what's in store for me. There's,
what area?
I'm going to see people.
In what area? I've got, this is like a tiny mini reading because I've got like, I don't know how many people waiting, 50 people in the queue. So let's see. I don't know how many I'm going to get to. So what area?
Everything. I mean, I lost my dog actually 2 weeks ago, and then I lost my job last week.
Oh,
okay. I don't kind of lost.
Did you put her down? What was your doggie's name? I remember your name.
Leia. So. Yeah, I used to call about
Leia.
Her. Yeah.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
We've done one of those readings as well with her a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
So
sorry
I'm just
to hear
kind
that.
Of, yeah, no, it's a lot in 2 weeks, you know, I've been with the company for 14
yeah.
years. So
a lot of loss.
So I don't know if I should, I broke up with someone as well, so I'm not, I don't know.
Yeah, you're really cleaning the slate. The one thing I want to say to you is to look at 2011, 2009, and 1997, and especially 1997, what was going on with you? 2009, 2011, kind of between 1997 to 2000, what was going on with you?
1997 to 2000, I guess I was in
college, right?
Oh, college.
Were you in school?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, 97. Okay.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, 97, yeah, I was in university, and then 2000, I was looking for work. Out of college.
Okay, well, so here we are. Okay, so that time period is highlighted for you right now. Look, you even said you were looking for work. So you need to bring yourself back to that time period to see what was most important for you. There's going to be what we call return of circumstances. So we have metaphysically, it's called the law of return. Very often in our life, key times for us are brought back to us to do it from a different perspective. We've learned something. And so that loss that you had, the going to school, look at the people that were around you, the friends, what was going on. And then you were also looking for work, which is, you just confirmed that, which is happening now. Similar situation. So it's a clean slate. It's kind of like leaving high school and going, it's a new level of playing ground. Now this time you're asked to do it more consciously. You have more wisdom, more insight, you have more understanding about yourself. And so in a sense, it's a little bit of a do-over, like, how do you want your life to be right now? What's important to you? What are your main focuses or main focus or in sub focuses around that? So very often when we have a lot of loss all at once, that's the soul is kind of taking a big sigh and moving things over and saying, okay, there's something very genuine and real about that. I would say maybe even 95, a little bit, 95, 96, but the key time, 97 to 2000, that you somehow need to get back in touch with. Does that help at all? Does that make sense?
Yeah. You also mentioned 2009 and 2011. Is that also the years?
Yes. So there's something similar in 2009, 2011, and that the 97 to 2000 time frame. There's some... If you look to see what was the thread there, what was the commonality, that's going to be your answer as to what you need to do and what you need to focus on.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Peace.
Okay.
Bye. Hi, 845-784, you're on air. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, good. I just went up and closed the door here. I didn't realize you were getting to me that quick. I've never been on your show. I had never been on the show.
Okay, what's your first name first?
I'm Bob.
Okay, welcome. Hi, Bob, welcome.
You can spell it backwards and forwards and still get it right.
That's right. It makes it simple.
It doesn't make a difference if you're left spin or right spin. You're still going to get it right.
Right. So, Bob, welcome to the program, and what's your question?
I listen to you, and I've been listening to many metaphysical sites or talk shows, and I've been learning since May of 2011, actually. And actually, I started my esoteric studies in 1965 in Vietnam, believe it or not.
I would believe it. It comes in all places, shapes, and forms.
Yeah, I started nuclear engineering and esoteric studies. I started off with a pyramid. But anyway, what I wanted to ask you, I'm making a comment. I hear you talk about all these great things, as many talk show hosts say. But there's one question that's bothering me, and I'd still like to get an answer from someone. And that is, if we have all these things that are great for us human beings, why do we allow the cabal to run all over us and have been running over us for, 6,500 years now, since darkness has been in charge? Why is there so much turmoil in the world?
Okay,
is there
like,
a reason for that?
Oh, yeah, but... Yes. Okay. But one thing is, we are a couple things, and I wish I'd gotten to you sooner, maybe next week, because I'd have my guest coming on, because this is a really good question. We do live in a dual universe. We do live in a world of that acts out in the through form and through therefore polarity, right? The electrical, the magnetic, and so you do have on some level. All expressions and experiences. So if there is a cop, there has to be a robber. You know, that's just how it plays out. You get one with the other. The other thing is the game is changing. We came in with this game of separation, the whole even idea of scarcity, the whole idea of, building a constructed ego instead of just having a natural ego or personality. So that has been the old game. And that is changing over time. And the other thing is, I would say, is the running, the cabal, doesn't really run everybody. I mean, there has to be some commonality. We do have a shared reality. We do have a race consciousness or mainstream consciousness that not only we all are part of, but we all have contributed to. So there really isn't anybody after us or doing anything. Those are aspects of us that is playing out, right? When people realize that the power is not in separating or power over or being feeling underpowered and having to overpower, the game starts changing and the cabal does. It's already losing control, and that's why there is such a scrambling going on right now to cut back rights. Years ago, I did, and I didn't know it. Some people have heard me share it, but I worked with, as a healer, on, one of the presidents, the Surgeon General, and they were trying to debunk me. Well, they ended up offering me a government position, which I didn't take. This was in the mid-90s. Yeah, because I didn't, and they had somebody call me. I mean, I still have the person's card. It was such a trip. But I blew him away because I did this energy work and he had all these illnesses that he had. It's just, diabetic and stuff was just, the symptoms just disappeared. And he said back then already, we're using people like you. And I already knew this from my time of metaphysical studies and spiritualism studies in England, that, the Russians, they all use remote viewers, psychics, they buy people, anywhere in warfare with thoughts, you know, I mean, beyond what people have are, you know, intention experiment, beyond that. So I knew this was real. But he told me, he said, we want what you have. And we want to take the herbs and we want to make them into pharmaceutical drugs, which I told him, I go, that doesn't work. They work synergistically with the whole part.
Was that the CDC?
No, but it was a huge convention. It was actually a government doctor. I still have his card. He was a doctor to the president. And I don't know if it was the Surgeon General, I have to relook, or just on their board. But it was a government doctor, and apparently there was a huge convention that I didn't know, and I got sent to my friend had a referral service for massage and healing work, and I had down that I did energy healing. Yeah, so he hired me. But what he told me then, we're losing billions of dollars because, as he put it, you people go to the health food store and you're using herbs and you're doing this and you're not going to the doctors as much. And, you know, who do you think is going to pay back the pharmacy? He was very upfront with me. And I said at the time, I said, why can't you do your thing conventionally and work with us as alternative health care providers? And he said, well, no, we don't want to do that. We want to learn how to do what you're doing. And that's why they hire people. So
really?
that little story. Oh, yeah. So now if you look at the statistics now, it's even more. It's even more people are off of the grid. And I cannot remember. I think Neil Hogg, who we had on our show, who is an author and an artist out of England and Europe, he put it so not only succinctly but to me just priceless in the way he put it. He said that eventually you leave the fair, and that's what's been happening. People are leaving the fair. They're leaving the ground. You can see it. People are more about relationships now. Apple is not doing as well. People are not buying phones every year and this gadget. They're getting off the hamster wheel that says, I have to have the latest and greatest. I have to have debt. The cobble, which a lot of people don't realize, those families, from written history, have made money off of our debt. So when there's less and less debt, or people are saying, I don't need the big dinner tonight. I'll just have some friends over with some tea or whatever, Java or Smokies. I get my garden. See what I'm saying? More and more people are no longer playing the game. So there is a game change that is happening. But we ascribe to the game, you know. And the original Illuminati was actually good. If you research it out of Europe, it came from Germany. The Luminous ones, the Illuminati, helped artists and spiritualists, gave them money, gave them funding, did good works, and then it became a misuse of power because they saw how a lot of artists, it's all small to some degree, our responsibility, a lot of artists, a lot of light workers don't want to get involved in other stuff. We want to isolate, and look what's happening now in the world. I don't want to be with them. They're negative vibes. I don't want to be over there. You know, I don't want to be. So getting out of the game and going on our little corner didn't work. It actually opened us up to manipulation. So it is changing, Bob, and I love your question. I got to go. I want to come back on anytime. Come back next week. I love how your mind thinks. You're looking big picture. I love it. And I think that's a great question that needs to be asked of everyone, because the only way to disempower is to not put the power there. Our worth is not by our bank account. You know, it's our interconnectedness. It's our metaphysical information and insight. It's our connection to source energy. And by the way, Bob, I got to tell you, I have firsthand. I was a very, very successful model, and a semi-successful actress, but a very successful model.
I was going to say to you, I want you to leave your boyfriend and husband and come be with me.
I love it.
You're
but
so
let me
attractive.
Tell you, thank you. I got to tell you, all on the yacht, with the billionaires and the Oppenheimers and the this and the that, and, you know, all of the Rothschild, I got stories. They all were some of them had great hearts, but so uncentered and disjointed. And what always happened? They would pin me at the cocktail, whatever, in the loo, in the bathroom, on the sofa, standing up looking out at the ocean, and what would it be? Metaphysical. Can you heal this? Can you, oh my God, spirit, I think I have a little, they're crying for the spiritual connection, no matter how much money, power, and influence.
Who's crying?
No matter how much blood. The aristocrats, the Oppenheimers, the Rothschild, all these people that I met, this is why I'm saying the more that we get it in our head that our worth is not based on our material possessions, our money in our bank account, that we have more worth in our heart, our interconnect. And I'm not being mamby-pamby. I'm just saying the more we start to play in the game. That's why we're all here. But the more that it gets balanced, that we're not trying to compete with things and having more devices and the latest and the greatest, you know, and the best eyebrows and the best this and the best booty and the best this dress I have to wear. The more we get off of that wheel, we disempower that other game. And I think that's what it's about.
I want to call in again
empower.
And speak with you. When are you on again?
I'm here every Wednesday with our crew. We've got great callers and listeners in the chat room, the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. We're here every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay, good. Go ahead with your special guest there, and I don't want to take up any more of your time here so that you can have your special guest on. But I like what you're saying. I believe you're honest. I don't like people who lie, cheat, and steal. So I like honest people and filled with the spirit of the light, not of darkness anymore.
Oh, I love that. You know, I might fudge. I might fudge on my taxes and my weight to be truthful, or my age. So, but that's about it.
Are you kidding? You're 20. You're 21 years old. Oh my goodness! Look at yourself.
In heart.
Look at
in
yourself.
Heart. All right, Bob. This is great talking with you. Okay. Hopefully, we hear from you next week. Take good care.
I will.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I love that. Yes. That's thinking. We got to think, but we do have empowerment. All right. It's time for our awakening guest today. And in our awakening dialogue, we have Garnet Schulhauser. And his most recent book is Dance of Eternal Rapture, which is a fourth book in a tetralogy of the author's dialogue and astral adventures with his spirit guide, which began when he was confronted on the street by a homeless man named Albert, who turned out to be a wise spirit in disguise. He also has some other books that you can find, Dancing on a Stamp, Dancing Forever with Spirit, Dancing of Heavenly Bliss. In this fourth book, the author describes the most recent astral trips with Albert, who introduced him to some wise and famous souls in the spirit realm. All right, let's give a warm welcome and attention to our guest, Garnet Schulhauser. Welcome to the program, Garnet.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's great to have new people on the podcast. Yes, yes. So very interesting title. I want to get to the current book, but I want to get a little bit of your background of what you were doing before and how you really answered the call to begin writing your experiences.
Sure. I spent most of my adult life practicing law. I was a corporate lawyer. And one day I was strolling down the street one sunny day in May, and all of a sudden, out of the shadows, a homeless man just jumped right in front of me. He stopped me in my tracks, and he looked like a very typical homeless person. I'd seen lots of those kind of people on the street before. But I didn't go around him because he had
this
amazing, dazzling
life. And this was in real life. I mean, you were actually on a street, and you saw this guy.
This is in 2007, yeah, in my life.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so the reason I didn't go around him was because he had these amazing, dazzling blue eyes that were infusing my whole body with an amazing sense of peace and security and well-being. It was like a pure, unconditional love coming towards me. And so I stood there like a deer caught in the headlights. And then he broke the spell by saying to me, "Why are you here?" And he disappeared into a nearby store. And then when I collected my wits, finally, I went into the store to find him. and I walked up and down the aisles. He wasn't to be seen anywhere. I went back out on the street and walked up and down the street for several blocks hoping to find him, but he had disappeared into thin air. So the very next day,
and he
I
said, "What are you doing here?" And he said,
"No, he
what
said,
are you
why
doing
are you here?
Why,
no,
why
he,
are
he said,
you
why
here?
Are you
okay,
here?
Okay.
Why are you here? Yeah. Hmm. So next day, same street, same time, I went back to see if I could find him. And after spending 15 minutes walking up and down, I finally spotted him sitting all alone on a bench. And I went up to him and I said, "Who are you and why did you stop me the other day?" And he said, "I'm a soul just like you. I'm here to help you on your journey and answer your questions."
Hmm.
And that was the beginning of a dialogue I had with this guy that went off and on for the next few months. I learned early on that I was the only one that could see him in physical form. I could see him and touch him. He was real to me. No one else would have seen him. So had they been walking by the bench that day, they would have seen me sitting by myself, apparently talking to myself, because they wouldn't see Albert. So it was very interesting. He told me that he was one of my spirit guides and that he had come to answer my questions, all the eternal questions of life I've been asking myself over the last 20 years, like who am I, why am I here, what's my life purpose, and you know what happens to me when I die. So he answered all those and many other questions that popped up as we conversed. And then he said, "I'm here not just to satisfy your curiosity, but I want you to write a book about what I tell you, about my revelations, so they'll be available to everyone." That led to my first book, Dancing on a Stamp. And then when I'd finished that book, he came back into my life in a slightly different way. I was asleep in my bed. I woke up. I saw what appeared to be like a ghost-like ethereal figure standing in the doorway of my bedroom. And when it got closer, I could see it was Albert, except he was in astral form. And he said, "Come with me. I'm going to take you on some astral trips to the spirit side to meet some very wise and famous souls, to other places in the universe, to other places on our planet, so you can appreciate what's going on in Earth." And so he just grabbed my hand and pulled my astral body out of my physical body, which was still lying asleep on my bed, and away we went on our first excursion. That led to my second book called Dancing Forever with Spirit, and then the next series of astral trips resulted in my third book, Dance of Heavenly Bliss, and then another series resulted in my last book, Dance of Eternal Rapture. So that's how I came to be a writer. I was persuaded by my spirit guide.
Wow. And what did you make of this guy appearing to you at this time? What were your thoughts now that you look back? What was the, well, was it to get you more on your path, or kind of wake you up? Was that the question? What are your thoughts of that?
Oh, there's no question. It was to wake me up, basically hit me over the head with a spiritual 2x4 so that I would change my ways, get off the track I was on, and change my path, which has really happened because my life has changed dramatically. But he also wanted me to write my book so that other people could hear what he was telling me. And so it was sort of a twofold, change my path and then promulgate his messages to all humankind.
And did he say why? Did he say what was coming up or what the importance was? Or did
he said over and over again that our human civilization is at a very crucial point in its development, and that we have very advanced technology, we have weapons of mass destruction, but our spiritual and emotional intelligence has not kept pace with our technological achievements. And so all too often, too many people are ruled by their negative emotions, like fear, anger, hate, greed. That's why we have so much violence, wars, conflicts, terrorist acts on our planet. And he said, we really have to be careful, because if we don't sort of become more enlightened and get over this rough patch in the road, we could end up destroying ourselves, and they don't want that to happen. So he really thinks that we really need to do a full court press, humanity does, to sort of get past this point where we can fully embrace love and compassion, become more enlightened, and stop all the violence we have on our planet. And that's his goal. That's why he chose me as one of his messengers. And he has a number of other messengers, and there's lots of other channels around the world channeling other spirits, and the message is all the same. They're trying to get humankind to become more enlightened.
Yes. And I feel it's happening. Like I shared with a caller the other day, I think, you know, the statistics are quite not just interesting, but elucidating, mirroring what's going on. If you look at debt ratio, other than like student loans, if you look at where people are more putting their money, where they're shopping, how much they're shopping, those things are actually down. You know, more people taking activism, you know, more activism, people even scaling down in homes, living in these tiny homes. I can't think of that. I guess the filmmaker that did Thrive sold all his, you know, his multi-million homes and, you know, has a nice mobile home, but it's a shishi one in Malibu. It's still scaled down. Do you feel that? Do you see that? Do you feel like there is the message of the recognizing our light, we are light, you know, awakening, the various levels of awakening? Do you feel that it is happening from what you see or from what your guides are saying? With the, do they see
absolutely.
It as well?
Absolutely.
I know you
Michelle.
Said full
court press,
so we still have a ways to go, right?
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of ways to go, but we've come a long way. Like in the last 20, 30 years, there's been an amazing change, an amazing shift towards spirituality, towards people understanding what's really important on their journeys on this planet. And, of course, materialism is not one of the things that's important, but people are shifting away from there. They're starting to recognize who they are as eternal souls having a human journey, and that we're all connected to each other and to the source. And that enlightenment really, for those people who are becoming more enlightened, that's really a major shift in thinking of humanity. And that's just been happening. It's really been accelerating the last 20 or 30 years. Albert has said to me, if I wrote my books, you know, in 1970, nobody would have, you know, I wouldn't have written them and nobody would have read them, you know, had I written them. You know, and there weren't a lot of spiritually enlightened spiritual talk shows like yours. Now there's all kinds of them. There's all kinds of books from other people like mine. And so the message is really getting out, and people are really starting to pay attention. And I've noticed just a whole lot more people who are just who really accept the fact that, you know, we're eternal souls having a human journey here to learn, and that we shouldn't be judging other people. We shouldn't be abusing, inflicting violence on other humans, because everyone that you see out there, whether they have a different color skin, worship a different god, speak a different language, they're all just souls having a human journey just like we are. And when people recognize that, then there's less propensity to hate them or to be angry with them or to try to inflict violence on them. So we have come a long way, Michelle. We have a long ways to go yet before we're over this really bad part in our development.
The bad patch.
Yeah, the bad patch in the road.
Yeah, it seems like there's a big, we're in the shadow material is really up to really look at it. We're kind of at, you know, the huge polarization, you know, to create a new middle. The book, the title, Dance of Eternal Rapture, and I like what you said, these eternals, you know, can you touch on that, the meaning of that?
Sure. It was an event that happened when one of my trips to the spirit side with Albert. And there I saw, it was sort of like a ceremonial sort of dance. And there were three souls. All of them had been members of the Council of Wise Ones. And that council was a group of very wise souls who oversee all the incarnations on our planet. Anyway, these people have been around for a while. They're wise, very advanced. And they went and did a sort of a ceremonial dance at the top of a high hill, and they ended up at the end of it sort of merging, floating up and merging into what Albert referred to as the source. So it was sort of the ultimate end game was to merge their vibrations, their energies into the source, and apparently it's quite ecstatic, quite a wonderful experience. And then Albert said they'll be there for a while, and then they will once again spin out from the source, just like they did way back when as early souls, and then go on to further adventures in our universe, because it's always changing, always expanding. There's always different things to do. So that was that dance was called the Dance of Eternal Rapture, when it was a merging of these souls into the source.
Ah, I love that. So are we doing that? Merging back
are we
in,
doing
or
that?
We do at some point? Well, we do that at some.
Yeah, you have to be advanced enough. You have to sort of be really evolved and advanced to get to that point where you can merge into the source. But personally, I don't think I'm anywhere near that. Michelle, maybe you are, but, I've got a long ways to go. And most people who are incarnating on Earth are still not there yet, because if you were that advanced, you wouldn't be incarnating here, because you would have been through with the school, you would have graduated. So I think that for most of us here, we have a ways to go, who knows, but I mean, there's no timetables, no deadlines. You can take as long as you want. There's eternity, and you can take as long as you want to get to that point. And then what happens when you actually merge into the source is that you don't lose your identity, you don't lose your memory, you don't lose your personality. You're there just to enjoy the total love, unconditional love that emanates from the source. And then, as you said, most souls will eventually spin out again to say, okay, well, there's some new galaxies that have been created. I'm going to go over there and see what's going on and learn some more from that, from those incarnations. So it's not like you lose yourself. You just get immersed in this love, but you're still you. All your memories are there. So it's not like some science fiction horror thing where you end up sort of disappearing into this glowing ball of the source. You end up sort of, you're still you, and so that's comforting. But you do have to be sort of very advanced to get to that point where you can do that. And so hopefully someday we'll all get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think we touch upon it in what is it? The ultimate going there is samadhi, but the samadhi with that oneness through meditation, I think some people, we get a little taste of it. That's true,
I actually did get a little taste of it, Michelle, when on one of my trips in my. Yeah, it wasn't sort of the way these people did it. Albert just sort of gave me a little glimpse of it, and in which case I sort of dropped into the sort of the central sun in our galaxy, and I got a bit of a taste of what it's like to be merged with the source, and it was just amazing. It was like total oneness with the universe, total unconditional love. It was an amazing feeling, but I was only there for a little while, and Albert put me back out, saying, "You're not ready for that. This isn't the final trip for you. You have many more things to do back on Earth." But it was really quite an amazing feeling, total oneness, unity with the universe.
Yeah. Wow. And of course, we can have those experiences. I think the separating out, it steps down the frequency, obviously. So we don't, because we're feeling individual. We're individuated. It almost as soon as we merge, we're feeling that, and we can't describe it, because once you're merged, you're in it. You are it. So you can't,
But we're all still connected to the source, even though we haven't done that dance, that full merger. We're all connected
absolutely.
To the source, whether we realize it or not, and connected to each other. And that's just how it is. And part of the problems that we have on Earth is that we have this feeling of separation, that we don't think that we're connected to the guy walking down the street or the next door neighbor or whoever. We think they're separate and I'm separate and you're separate. But we really have to realize that we're really all part of a small part of the one. We're individual aspects of the source sent out to sort of explore the universe, and we really have to keep that in mind, and if we do, we'll have a much better place to live on this planet.
And what does your guide say? Now, you're working with one guide or a few? Is it still the guy that came up to you?
Yeah, I work with Albert, the first guide I met. Yeah.
Albert. Okay, and what does Albert say about this?
Well, he says that, as we mentioned before, we've come a long ways, but we really have to sort of step up our game. Mm-hmm. His concern is that he said there's been human civilizations on Earth for many eons, and a lot of them have sort of risen up to great heights and then crashed and burned for various reasons, like Atlantis and Lemuria and a number of others we're not even aware of. And so he says that the souls on the spirit side, like him and many others, they're really concerned that our civilization is at the same sort of crucial point. They don't want us to crash and burn, so they're really trying to hit us, do the full court press to hit us with this messages from spirit to try to get us up the spiritual ladder, become more enlightened, raise our vibrations. The ultimate goal is that, of course, if our vibrations are high enough, we can actually rise up to Earth in a higher dimension that a lot of people call the new Earth. So we can actually get there if we can raise our vibrations to match those of the new Earth.
Mm-hmm. And does he have any idea of how to do that?
Yeah, it's very simple. Simple to say, but hard to do. We have to sort of fully embrace love and compassion and forgiveness and totally stifle and discard our negative emotions. And when that happens, our vibrations will just rise and we'll just magically, you know, float up to the new earth. But it has to be a total commitment. And for a lot of us, I mean, you can be full of love, you know, for a few hours, and all of a sudden somebody cuts you off in traffic and you get upset and angry at that person. That just sort of pulls you back down. And I'm as guilty as anybody. I still do it. I do it less than I used to. But we still succumb to our negative emotions, and we have to totally stifle those and get rid of them and fully embrace love and compassion. And that's how you raise your vibrations.
Mm. Okay, so what I call refining our emotions, I mean, I don't know. This is maybe the therapist part of me. I don't see any emotions as bad unless you're stuck in them. It's a chronic state. But obviously subsuming them, you know, or integrating or channeling them. Because anger can be very powerful. I mean, you see it now with the kids that don't want the, you know, that are making changes, young adults, really, that, you know, in school with the gun violence. I think if it's channeled, that itself raises the vibration. That's my thought. You know,
well, yeah, I mean, but emotion. That kind of anger isn't really anger in the sense that I mean it. That's really a compassion, love for a particular goal, which will help, you know, the country or help the humans. So I don't call that anger. What I say by anger, Michelle,
well,
is
they're
like
angry. They're angry. No, they're pissed. They'll even tell you that. But they're channeling it. It's requalifying the energy. I think what you're saying is into some passion. They're doing something with it instead of they're doing something constructive with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And all too often, anger leads to somebody, you know, shooting somebody else or injuring them or doing whatever. That's the negative anger that causes so much violence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think these kids are, you know, they're passionate about what they're doing, but that could easily turn to violence if things just happen the wrong way. And so you have to be very careful about that. And so negative emotions that lead to violence and strife and wars and terrorist acts and shootings and so on, that's really what we have to stifle.
Mm-hmm. Now, does Albert have any comment on things like that, the shootings and things that are happening, you know, in our current affairs, and any idea of the remedy or what will ultimately?
Well, I think the remedy is for more people, including, you know, for all people on the planet, to become more fully embracing with love and compassion and forgiveness. If you fully embrace love, you can't shoot somebody else. You can't harm them. You can't do a terrorist act.
Right.
You know, love means fully embracing who they are, not judging them and forgiving them for anything they may have done in the past. And if you fully do that, then you're not going to commit any mass shootings or terrorist acts or whatever. I mean, love, I mean, in a very total sense, If you fully commit to love, all the other things will just disappear, and that's what we really need to do. And he says, you know, we really have to focus on that, you know, and try to get rid of all the violence in our planet. And it's not just love for ourselves, our fellow humans, but also for the other creatures who share our planet and for Mother Earth herself, because we're very abusive to our planet with our pollution. We're abusive to a lot of the animals that share our planet. We're abusive to one another. All that has to stop, and it will stop if we can really fully embrace love, compassion, and forgiveness. The other things will just all disappear.
Mm, right. And what are some ways that people can tap into this?
Well, they first of all have to understand sort of what's going on our planet. They have to understand why we have so much violence, and then they have to sort of start with themselves. They have to start by fully loving themselves and forgiving themselves, and then they can proceed to love others and forgive others. And they have to understand that you know, you can, if somebody steps on your toes, you can't lash out in anger. You can't hate them. You can't incite violence. You have to just sort of forgive them and love them. You know, as best you can, and that'll just make that sort of spreads out. If those good deeds are happening, they'll ripple out and affect others, who in turn will do good deeds and embrace love, and it can really have a multiplier effect, and that's what we really have to focus on.
I like that. It multiplies out, which is what we know, right? And the more that people more fully love themselves, then it's easier to love or have compassion with others, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you know, you can't, Albert says, look, you can't change the world overnight. No one person could do it. You have to do it one person at a time, one step at a time, and just let the multiplier effect kick in, and pretty soon we'll have a whole lot more people who are on the same path, which is to try to embrace love and compassion and get rid of all the negative, the bad things that happen from negative emotions. It's going to happen slowly. It's been happening at a quite a higher pace over the last 20 or 30 years, and it's going to continue that way. But we really have to work at it. And, you know, you start with yourself, and then you bring in your family members and your friends, neighbors, and coworkers, and then hope that they do the same. And that's the only way it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I like this where you're talking about individual consciousness and individuals changing themselves. And I like what you say, the multiplier effect. I too, actually really subscribe to that and believe in that, is that because a lot of times a lot of people do things in groups, but they haven't handled their own stuff. So it's not really having the effect that they think consciously, you know, it's not reverberating out as higher frequency actions because, you know, it's like empty ritual, right? They're just doing it superfluously. It's on the surface, but not, you know, actually the real deal of how they are. Now, in the book, does Albert go into specifics? I mean, it's through him sharing with you or teaching with you. Does he go into these specifics, or is this what you've surmised and gained from talking with him, or does he actually go into specifics?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean by specifics, but I mean he talks to me about what should happen, but one of the things he really does is he's introduced me to a number of sort of wise souls in the spirit side, like people who are famous, you know, and they tell me about their lives on earth and what they think is happening and what should change, and so that's all very enlightening. So he likes to just rather than just have Albert be lecturing me about what he thinks should happen, he lets me hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, and that's very powerful. And that's in a lot of my books. I've met a lot of very famous souls. I mean, in my last book, for example, I met Muhammad and Buddha, Mary Magdalene, Jesus, some of the archangels, and they all had some very wise things to say, and they say it in a slightly different manner so that it sort of resonates with me, and I don't have to, it's not just Albert telling me all the time, he's basically showing me by example. And so that's what's so amazing about some of the trips I had with him is that I actually got to see different things and talk to different people rather than just have him tell me everything that's on his mind. So it was a very good way of him imparting what he wanted me to know in a very special way.
Okay. And so it's with different spirits then, or guides, that you're connecting with.
Yeah,
well.
these are souls, spirits. They're not my guides, but they had walked the earth at one time or another. Basically, most of them are master souls, very advanced souls, you know, like Jesus, Buddha, Moses, Muhammad, these people came to Earth, incarnated on a special mission to try to help humanity move up the spiritual ladder in their own ways, and a lot of different religions have spun off from them. They're still there in the spirit side, watching what's going on, and it was very interesting to talk with them and find out how they thought the things that they started had developed, and in terms of what was happening on our planet. It was very interesting. You know, one of the more interesting conversations I had was with Muhammad, who of course started Islam, and he said that he's, you know, his religion has done a lot of good things. Probably the second most popular religion on our planet, but he was very dismayed at a couple of things that had sort of spun off from his religion, which he didn't start and he didn't advocate. The first one was he was really upset at the abuse and subjugation of women by men who used the religion as an excuse to do awful things to women, you know, like make them wear head coverings, mm-hmm. face coverings, body coverings, don't allow them to drive cars, go to school, take jobs, and so on. That just, he said, that's just nonsense. Never came from him. He never intended that, and he always thought that, that women and men should be equal. And so he was dismayed about how they, some of the people have used his religion to justify what they're doing. And the other thing he was really dismayed at was at how some people are using Islam, his religion, to justify, you know, terrorist activities and wars and you know, other strife that's going on our planet. He said he never, ever preached violence towards people who were not of his religion. All he did was preach peace and wanted everyone to live in harmony. So he's very dismayed at that aspect of his religion. And so it was really interesting to hear mm-hmm. him say that, and he really wished that he could change it, but you know, he can only do so much from the spirit
yeah.
side. Obviously, who he's sending messages to, the people there weren't listening to him, and you know, he just sort of threw up
right.
his hands and said, well, I guess that's life on our planet.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Things get can get, what's the word, you know, not only misinterpreted, but altered, you know, on purpose to ensnare, you know, enslave and snarl, you know, that that misuse of power, right?
That's exactly it. I mean, over the history of our civilization, it's always been story after story of men in particular misusing the power and doing whatever they can to gain more power and control over the masses. And a lot of the religions, that's
mm-hmm.
what's happened. Whether it be Christian or Islamic
yes.
or Jewish, you know, it's all the same. Men using religion
yes.
and making rules to control people, and that's their goal.
Yeah.
Which is very unfortunate
yeah.
because the core message from all those religions was really a good one.
Yes, exactly. You know, if someone told me, and this applies, I think, here years ago, a friend of mine was married to somebody in the FBI and actually a director, and I thought, how do you know, like, con artists, people that do fraud, and he said there always has to be an element of truth, otherwise you don't hook people. So he said that's what people respond to, is the element of truth. The problem is they don't discern that there's truth in this, but the rest is false, or the rest is ensnaring me, you know. They just go for the truth and say, oh, the truth is here, so it all must be true. And,
yeah, that's
and I'm
exactly
wondering
what happened.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you have any thought of that with how people can connect, you know, maybe discern or the truth, you know, because there's obviously individual truth, but there's universal truths that I always say, again, it's kind of common sense, but, you know, again, like you're talking about, people have been ensnared and enslaved by religions.
Yeah, I think people just have to be more questioning about what people tell them, whether religious leaders, whoever, and not just blindly follow what their parents told them or their co-workers told them or their friends. You know, you have to question everything. And in fact, Albert says people shouldn't just believe what I've said. They should hold it up to the light and see if there's any holes in it, and then believe what feels true to their heart. And so the trouble is most people just blindly follow what they've been taught without ever questioning it. But if you sit down and I mean, I was raised as a Roman Catholic, Michelle, and I started questioning it. Oh, I was taught like in my 20s and 30s, and by the time I hit my 40s, I had sort of dismissed most of it as being a lot of hooey, you know, their rules and dogma and all their regulations. And I think everyone needs to sort of do that and not just blindly follow
yes.
what they've been doing since childhood or what everyone around them is doing. And more people do that, we're going to have more people who will see all the holes in the things that especially the religious leaders are putting forward.
Okay. Oh, we have a great question in the chat because we're winding down here. But Tamara went to your website and noticed all the books have the word dance. And she's asking, what do you feel about that, the word dance?
Well, it all rolls from my very first book, Dancing on a Stamp, and how that title came from when I was having a conversation with Albert, and I was sort of feeling badly about something that happened in my life. You know, I was feeling down and out, and he said, you know, your problem is that you've spent most of your life on one spot. He said, imagine that the world using a metaphor that the world is a big ballroom. And he said, you're in this big ballroom, there's great dance music going on, everyone around you is up dancing, swirling around the whole ballroom, exploring it, enjoying it, getting comfortable with it. But he said, you spent too much time on one spot, and you got to quit dancing on a stamp. And so that's the title of my first book. And it just... And it made sense that I should keep the word dance in all the, my other book titles. It seemed to flow.
Yeah, I love that. Good guess. Okay, a lot of people loving what you're doing, loving the book. I love that explanation.
You.
I love that. Dancing on a stamp. Many of us do that. We need to get a bigger dance floor. And get in the ballroom. Stop being in the foyer,
and,
or on the stand.
And break out of our comfort zones. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes. Oh, well, thank Albert for us. Thank you for being here, Garnet. It's been wonderful to have you on the program. And thanks for doing all that you do.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for inviting me on your show, Michelle. This is the second show, and it's just as delightful as the first one was.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, you're so welcome. Take good care. Much peace. All right, that Awakenings guest was Garnet Schulhauser. You can find out more information by going to garnetschulhauser.com, and that's GarnetSchulhauser.com. And we're talking about his recent book, Dance of Eternal Rapture. Thank you all for being here and co-creating this with me. Thank you, those in the chat, my co-hosts, co-pilots, really helping co-create and ground the energy. Thank you all for being a part of the Awakenings community, and thank you, those that phoned in. You make it a little extra lively, and I will be back here next Wednesday, same time, same place, same channel. Same vibrational frequency and raising it up. Anyway, wish you all well, and I will see you here next week.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's Soul Insights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.